Quick Take Northwest, regional news for the terminally switched on from Oregon Public Broadcasting. This is OPB Radio's Quick Take Northwest for Tuesday, the 7th of November, 2006. Good morning, I'm April Baer. There has been no letting up in all the rain that's washing over the Oregon coast and the valley. It's the first big storm of the winter. Count yourself lucky that the temperature is still above the freezing mark. As of this morning, we've got a slew of school closings, most of them on the coast, including the Jewel District, Mestaca Valley, Neakani, and Tillamook No. 9. In southwest Washington, Cowlitz County reports that Castle Rock schools are closed, and the Nacelle Grays River Valley District is closed. The good news is, as of 6 a.m., PGE had power outages down to about 300 households. The roads, needless to say, are a mess. I hear that in southwest Washington, Lucia Falls Road is closed at sunset and Hyson today because there's more than 2.5 feet of water continuing to rise over the roadway. I'm posting a link on the Quick Take page for Oregon and Washington's Department of Transportation websites. Get everything you need to know before you start driving today. It's a mess. The National Weather Service says that we're in for at least 3 to 9 more inches of rainfall today alone, with the heaviest spots close to the Cascades and the Coast Range Mountains. Meteorologist Jonathan Wolf says the locals tend to call this the Pineapple Express for a reason.
The weather is primarily coming just straight up from Hawaii. I know some people have talked about, has it been parts of a remnant of a typhoon off of Asia, but I'd say only minimally. I mean, it may have added a little bit of extra moisture content, but most of it's just coming straight off the Pacific, warm seas over Hawaii, pretty much.
So what happens when you put all this rain together with balloting? Here's Austin Jenkins with that news.
Here are two things that don't go well together, a Pineapple Express storm and Election Day. The drenching rain that's been falling west of the Cascades may make it difficult for voters dropping ballots in Oregon or trying to get to the polls in Washington, especially in outlying areas. Election officials in western Washington are closely monitoring poll sites along flood-prone rivers. Meanwhile, the process of counting ballots may take longer than usual this year. In places like Seattle's King County, the ballot is crowded with several measures, which will slow the vote tabulation. King County officials estimate they will count fewer than half the votes on election night. That means in super close races, the outcome may not be decided for days, if not weeks. I'm Austin Jenkins reporting.
In spite of all the nuttiness, Oregon's Secretary of State's office expects that about half of the ballots cast will come in during the final 48 hours of voting. Colin Fogarty has some of the practical guidelines you might need to know to vote.
Elections officials say their scanners read the markings of a number 2 pencil the best, but most counties can also deal with ovals filled in with pens. But voters who use a pen for, say, a write-in candidate should make sure it's a blue pen. Black ink has enough red in it to make it hard for the scanners to read. But even if you don't get these details right, your vote will likely count anyway. State law requires an inspection board with representatives of both major parties to examine irregular ballots to figure out the intent of the voter. Most of the time, that's pretty clear. Secretary of State Bill Bradbury's office is expecting results to come in faster than in previous elections because of technological improvements. Counties used to have to call in their results. Now all that information arrives electronically. Colin Fogarty, OPB News.
That final day of campaigning was a wet and windy one for Democratic Governor Ted Kulongoski and his Republican challenger Ron Saxton. Both were braving it, though, barnstorming key areas of the state in a final effort to get out the vote. The polls have shown Kulongoski with a slight edge, but both parties know that this race is a close one. Democrats are keeping an eye on Multnomah County, where ballot returns are slightly below the statewide average. Republicans so far are trailing in statewide turnout. A Canadian company called Teck Cominco Limited will apparently have to stick to the U.S. pollution laws regarding major contamination on the Columbia River. Teck Cominco's large lead and zinc smelter is located 10 miles north of the U.S.-Canadian border in Trail, British Columbia. For nearly a century, it has discharged effluent into the Columbia. Back in July, a 3-judge appeals court panel found that Teck Cominco is subject to U.S. Superfund laws and would have to follow them. The company filed a motion for reconsideration, asking that the full court hear the matter, but now the court has declined. Teck Cominco could now be responsible for a cleanup that is expected to cost into the billions of dollars. A federal appeals court has stopped two timber sales in southwest Oregon. It's ordered the Bureau of Land Management to look for small rodents, known as red tree voles, before allowing timber companies to cut about 500 acres of old growth. Joseph Vail is with the conservation group KS Wild. He says the Bush administration had dropped its requirement of seeking out threatened animals in the path of logging.
The administration, who had been playing fast and loose with public involvement on very important land management decisions, hopefully will get the message that it's doing so illegally.
Federal forest managers are expected to release a new environmental impact study in March for the area that it wants to log, near Grants Pass. The Northwest Forest Plan designates the land for timber harvest if it doesn't harm threatened animals. More than 13% of Oregon's teens now say that they've engaged in binge drinking over the past month. This is according to a new study from the State Department of Human Services. Christian Fodenvenzel reports.
The number of 8th graders admitting to drinking 5 or more drinks in a row has increased 15% since last year. Indeed, Human Services Department spokesman Jim Sellers says the rate has been on the increase for almost a decade.
What's especially troubling about this is not only 8th graders are drinking more than they have in any past year since 1997, when they did drink more than they did this year, but they also are reporting that they are less likely to believe that drinking is harmful.
Teens told the survey that they prefer hard liquor and flavored alcoholic drinks to beer. The study also found that a clear, consistent message from parents made a difference. Of kids who think their parents believe underage drinking is very wrong, 80% had not drunk in the last 30 days. By contrast, 70% of kids who said their parents believe underage drinking is not wrong at all had gotten drunk. Christian Fodenvenzel, OPB News.
The Portland Trailblazers weren't quite able to squeak out a win last night. They lost to the L.A. Clippers 102-89. It was a big scoring night for Zach Randolph. He got 35 points, and second-year guard Jarrett Jack added 17. The Blazers might be without their rookie sensation Brandon Roy for a while. Last night, he played just 14 minutes before telling Coach McMillan that he couldn't go anymore. A bone near his Achilles tendon has been bothering him. Roy said he had the injury going into last night's game. He's going to try to get an MRI as the team returns to Portland today. In other basketball news, former Oregon City High School star Kristen Forrestal says she's leaving the University of Oregon's program because of irreconcilable differences with Coach Bev Smith. Forrestal earned a McDonald All-American honor when she was a senior at Oregon City, but she's averaged just 4 points and 3 rebounds in her 54 college games. Coach Smith says she's disappointed with Forrestal's decision and thinks any perceived differences, in her words, were resolvable. Forrestal says she's going to finish off the fall term at Eugene before deciding her next move. A former Oregon Duck football player, tailback Maurice Morris, ran 30 times, getting a career-high 138 yards as the Seattle Seahawks blanked the Oakland Raiders in Monday Night Football 16-0 yesterday. One final note, the defending national champion University of Portland women's soccer team is going to have some road wins if they want to repeat as champions. The Pilots learned yesterday they're going to play a first-round game in Salt Lake City against Brigham Young. That match is scheduled for Friday. Okay, so now it's time for the weather forecast. If I just said buckets of rain, would that pretty much fill you in? No? Okay, well, here's the breakdown. Flood warnings are continuing today for much of the coast and the valley. We're looking at 3 to 9 inches of rainfall before tonight, again with the heaviest rain in the mountainous areas. The Weather Service has declared flood warnings this morning for the Nacelle River, the Willapa, the Nestucca, the Siletz, and the Trask. Most of those tend to be toward the coast. However, just about every small stream on the west side of the Cascades is at least under a flood watch today. Our temperature should once again be between the upper 50s and the mid-60s today, and the snow in the Cascades doesn't start until up around 8,000 feet. Please keep an eye on the rain conditions. It's going to be very heavy once again today. For Central Oregon, the chance of rain is deepening. A little breezy out there today. Highs in the low to mid-60s. The Eastern Gorge, rainy as well. Temperatures 60 to 65. And farther east, we have near-record highs reported in Malheur County today. It's going to be in the low 70s. Look for clouds and rain. Temperatures in the low to mid-60s. Today's featured music is another track from Exene Cervenka and the Original Sinners.
Good at making me glad. You're so good at named the track might as well be the tagline for the band, Good at Being Bad. Exene's bringing that band to Dante's tonight. Should be a pretty good show. Info's on the Quick Take page if you'd like to see it. That is to say, if you're not slumming the election night parties this evening. NPR's coverage begins at 6 p.m., and at 8 o'clock, OPB's news department is going to bring you comprehensive reporting and analysis on the state and regional results. Here's a longer list of tasty things to check out as you're going about your business tonight. In Eugene, the Russian film series screens Father of a Soldier by Rezo Chikaidze. It's happening in Pacific Hall on the U of O campus. In Salem, local attorney and writer Scott MacArthur's giving a talk about his latest book, Ben Maxwell's Salem, Oregon. Ben Maxwell was a guy who wrote for the Salem Capital Journal back from 1953 to 1968. His favorite topic was Salem's history. Scott MacArthur worked with Maxwell, and he's going to be sharing his personal and professional memories. This is going on at the Salem Public Library this evening. In Portland, tonight's the first of two readings for a wonderful new anthology of contemporary Northwest poets called Long Journey. Most of these poems are new or previously unpublished. It looks like a very solid overview of what writers in Oregon, Washington, BC, and Alaska are doing these days. The reading's at Powell's downtown, and it includes names like Judith Barrington, James Grable, Paul Ann Peterson, and Vern Rutsala. There's a second event scheduled next Tuesday at Broadway Books. Also in Portland tonight, there's going to be a film screening for The Lost Boys of Sudan, a very moving documentary about war and its aftermath. The filmmaker, Megan Milan, is going to be at the screening tonight to talk about the work, and also one of her subjects, Isaac Chole. They'll be answering your questions after the screening. Information on all these events is posted on today's Quick Take page. Head over to opb.org in the radio area to find it. Thanks for listening to the podcast today, and hey, don't forget to get that ballot dropped off. Signing off from cyberspace, I'm April Baer.